Welcome to Art Speak. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, your host and producer of Art Speak Radio. And if you haven't noticed, we're on at a new time. Thank goodness we're on at noon till one, following my lovely radio husband and mentor, Mark Manning. So I'm very excited to be with you this afternoon. Let's get started. We have some really wonderful guests in the studio this afternoon. First off, we have Jim Adams, who is a Houston sculptor, and we also have the lovely and talented John Hastings, who's a writer, an art lover, and just a really nice guy. He looks at me, he rolls his eyes. I do want to mention that John and Jim have created a new art gathering here in Kansas City, and that is called The Bunker. Where did I leave my notes? Yes, the Bunker, which is the Center for the Arts, and it's at 19th and Troost. So we want to welcome our lovely friends, John and Jim. Welcome to Art Speak Radio.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's nice to be here.
Very good. Tell me, how did the center come along? I know you two met at the Late Show. How long ago was that you decided to sort of get this thing on?
Was it, three or four years ago?
Yeah, it'd be 2009.
It was one of those halcyon Saturdays, and I went down to, everybody goes down to the Late Show on the weekend.
Sure.
And it was about 3 in the afternoon, and Tom was on his third vodka surprise, and he was feeling affable and social. And God was in heaven, and all was right with
everything
the world.
Lined up, yes.
And Jim walks in, and he's got a couple of pieces, some of the pieces that he makes. I'll let Jim tell you what he does. Mm-hmm. But I knew right away that he's very talented, and I responded to his work. And Tom took on the pieces, which did not sell. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, over time, Jim and I stayed in contact and have become pretty darn good friends.
Terrific.
I gave Jim a show at the Writer's Place. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago?
I think, yeah, 2 years
ago. It's all one long day, and it was received well.
Mm-hmm. And that's a terrific little gallery space in itself at the Writer's Place, so very
yes,
good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So what sort of work did you show at that at the Writer's Place? Sculpture? And
Sculpture, if I can take a moment, just explain what I do. And I'm very lucky in doing this.
Very good.
I create work from steel. Mm-hmm. Scrapped infrastructure and machinery items. And again, I've been lucky. I'm able to look at this, and it's junk. Mm-hmm. But it's junk with some interesting shapes, and most people are very aware that it's been something before in this life. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to let that flow into a work of art and really drive what it will be. And it's when it finds its way into collections, it finds itself in a very contemporary and generally rather edgy collections.
Mm-hmm. So it's you never know what you're going to find. Is that what you're saying? Is sort of found things that speak to you, and then you put them together, assemble them in a
you
way?
Could not have said that any better.
Okay. So are they fairly large pieces or manageable, where you could move them to one?
They can be. They're anywhere from 10 pounds to 300 pounds.
Okay.
I looked at a couple the other day that taxed me, and I'm a good old boy, and I can lift heavy stuff. But it's it's raw steel.
Yeah,
and
gosh.
He can craft a narrative out of three pieces of abstraction.
Beautiful.
He's natural. He's got this natural talent, I think.
So from this meeting, you all had this sort of connection, and you came together and had a discussion about pulling it together, a center for the arts here in Kansas City.
Well, Jim, his home base is in Houston, and he had a great show in January, and had some. His work has been well received. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money in Texas, but there's not an art culture like this town has.
Yeah.
And he is, I'm speaking for you here, but he's been drawn to the art culture.
Yeah.
It's vibrant, yeah, and it's alive, and it's organic, mm-hmm, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. And so he's moving here, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, to be part of this scene.
You know, and with that, John, would you say that the art scene is inclusive in a way that other cities maybe where they're missing that?
I'd say this is a very, very cordial, yeah, environment, yeah, for art to flourish. Mm-hmm. The artists here are open, mm-hmm, and familial, collegial, mm-hmm, tremendous talent, mm-hmm, and it's your family. The art family is.
Well, you know, I find that's true with this creative community in general, that mm-hmm, whether it's music or writing, you know, poetry or visual arts or mm-hmm, performance, you know, there's a place for everyone here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very democratic. Mm-hmm. It's a democratic city. It's a mm-hmm, Western city. It's a West, you know, it's not, St. Louis is an old aristocratic town, and to break in the culture in St. Louis is, I think, a much more difficult proposition than it is here. Mm-hmm. This is a very open city, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's its strength.
Well, and I think as artists here, I think we strive to cultivate a new generation of artists and writers and musicians and sculptors and that, too. Mm-hmm. I think we're open for that. So why did you decide the East Crossroads for the center?
Well, Jim, take it from there.
Okay. Family business had me up here on a very regular basis for about a four-year period, and there's some push and some pull. The pull is I've wanted to get out of Houston, and I'm from Missouri originally, mm-hmm, from central Missouri. And I've been looking at properties in this area for about 4 years, and knowing very specifically what I wanted. And I had a lady who's a realtor who helped me a great deal. I'm certain that she gritted her teeth because we were never finding exactly what I was looking for until we finally found it.
Sure.
And it's a very nice building. It's strong bones. Mm-hmm. It's on the east edge of the Crossroads District. Mm-hmm. It has 10,000 square feet, which is a lot of room. And it has a lot of rooms. There's 24 on the, yeah, ground floor.
Yeah.
So it was giving to me a whole bunch of space which could be very useful and very good. And having this placed into my hands, mm-hmm, I realized, mm-hmm, well, I can do something,
yeah,
with this space and do something for artists in this community. I've been an artist for a short time, about, mm-hmm, 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. And I've got to know a lot of young artists like myself and some very, very talented people who never get the break of getting their work on a wall. And this is something I'll be able to provide for people.
I think that's terrific. I mean, that opportunity to sort of, you know, follow your passion, follow, you know, sort of a new direction, you know, maybe in your lifetime. And having that opportunity is really exciting and just very generous, you know, from an individual. So there's a lot of space in this center, right?
There's a lot of space,
yeah,
in this center.
Yeah. So what are some of the ideas that you have for this space?
Well, Jim's going to probably use about 3,000 square feet for his studio,
wow,
and he's going to be welding. And if we need to, we'll put in a kiln, mm-hmm, if there's a need for that. Mm-hmm. But okay, we're going to rent out studio space. We're going to have gallery, uh-huh, space, and we have a lot of wall space, a lot of places to hang art, to show art. Mm-hmm. And aside from that, I want to have literary events.
I was going to ask you, as a writer, I thought, oh, there's going to be room for that. Terrific.
And when we had the soft opening a week or two ago, we all gathered in this one room around this round table, and it was fantastic. You know, it was just, it generated.
Sorry to have missed that. Yeah.
I know, you were working late. And some people couldn't find the building, which you know, we're still chuckling. It's there, hiding in plain sight. Lori Ray.
And you, not pointing fingers, but you know, but it has a great outdoor space too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, is that going to be designated for parking, or can you do some outdoor things there?
Oh, we can do outdoor
performances.
Things.
So yeah.
We can do outdoor things there. Absolutely. It's going to be very fluid. I want to partner with some artists. I'd like to mentor some kids from the East Side.
Oh, yeah.
I want to tie that in. Also, I'm thinking about a music venue for kids. So
that's terrific.
So we can do just about anything at this place.
Uh-huh.
And I want it to be hopping.
Yeah.
And it's for everyone.
Well, and too, it lends itself to growth. I mean, you're situated right there on the corner.
Yeah.
But there's other, you know, available spaces around in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and we're inside of Belger. Belger's just to the right, and then Stretch's studio is to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of opportunity there,
mm-hmm.
and it straddles the East Side and the West Side,
mm-hmm.
and it's still part of the Crossroads, so I think it's a symbolic space as well.
Absolutely. Now, do you have a website up yet, or is there? Are you inviting people maybe to another soft opening, or what's on the horizon?
We're doing infrastructure work right now, not to bore you to death, but
that's okay. I've built a few things in my lifetime, a few thousand duplexes.
We're changing all the lights explain that.
There's some the lights had room for growth.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through the building and replacing all the lamps, we're going to lighting level, which is described as, or technically known as 5,000 Kelvin, which is the color of light, which is best for viewing art and looking at art.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an opportunity because all of this stuff has to be replaced anyway.
Yeah.
And the deal of putting up exit signs in the right places, Jim's very scrupulous about being up to code, so he's got his ducks all in a row regarding that. So that's going to take a little while longer than we thought. Mm-hmm. I want to get some art in there, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Carla Malone's Steck had a wonderful installation where she recreated a room from the St. Louis Museum of Modern Art or St. Louis Museum,
uh-huh.
and I want to put that in there.
Now, didn't she also have, I recently saw, and maybe it might have been an old photograph, some outdoor sort of sculptures that were very colorful, or am I just...
The flowers?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of her friends is doing that, and I think he's in New York,
mm-hmm.
but she's all over the place. She's also, mm-hmm. you know, firing objects in St. Joe
mm-hmm.
with a ceramist. So... She's constantly on the, and plus she's got great art. She does great art.
Yeah.
So I want to, and then I've got a couple people that I worked with before, like Carlisle Rain, who paints the agony of the body,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get her up. So we're open that way. It's going to be a very very free and easy and casual approach. For opportunity, one's going to have to fill out a long form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. if you're civil and have a modicum of talent, there's a very good chance that you'll be there. You'll mm-hmm. be up. You can have space to show your stuff.
Now, is there opportunity for out of town artists or performers to also take that space or show?
Yeah.
In that,
I've already got a few from Texas whose work will be hanging on the walls.
Terrific. So, yeah. You know, it's just an exciting time for you both, isn't it? Well, and for Kansas City, you know, we're so open for this center, you know.
I think it's got its own, it's already got its own personality.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun and healing and art centric.
Yeah.
In a way that's not quite as formal as most gallery space. And I was thinking before the show, I was thinking how art culture is evolving, and galleries are challenged right now. People buy art online. Advertising agencies are managing artists' careers now. That is a new thing. The place of the gallery, the galleries are going to, it's almost like the book with the advent of the computer. They're going to be challenged in ways they had not possibly imagined.
Why, you know, I that makes me question, that makes me wonder, you know, why, I mean, do you think it will help, will keep people from attending more galleries or museums in that? Because it, they can see what they want online or purchase what they want?
I think it will impact. Yeah. I think it will impact. Yeah. You know, there's a guy that everybody loves to hate in Los Angeles by the name of Stefan Simchevitz, who buys and sells and makes careers, buys up young artists, starving artists, and makes careers. That is a phenomenon that he bypasses the gallery. But I was thinking of galleries that I've loved in this town, and I was close to what's her name? She passed away. She was at 50th and Liberty. Jan Weiner.
Oh, Jan Weiner, of course, yes.
Very, very close to her.
You know, I recall her name, and she showed John Ferry's work a great deal of time. We went to the Art Institute together and actually taught there together, and he's still a very fine painter, and he's teaching, I believe, in the illustration department. But that's that connection with her that I know of.
Well, and she had exquisite taste.
Yes.
She could be vexing as mortal sin, but she, you know, she. I used to tease her. She had a nervous breakdown. That's no secret. And she was at Menninger's, and gosh, she would drive me crazy sometimes. And I would say, you know, they let you out too early, you know, and she would laugh. But I loved her dearly. I loved her dearly, and she had taste.
And then another, Myra Morgan.
Oh, God. She was so charming. Oh, God.
Yeah.
She had the most beautiful hands. And that Southern charm. Her nails, I mean, her hands were a work of art.
I met a fellow who framed work for her, Richard Hamilton, back when I was still at the Art Institute. And, you know, he introduced me to her. And she was a lovely woman. Just smart.
Smart as heck.
Made some really good decisions. And that was in the River Quay at the time, or River Market, whatever it was at that time. But
and she had that
for a long time.
She had that guy that designed furniture, whose name eludes me. And she carried a lot of his stuff. And he did art pieces. And they were like horrendously expensive, $20,000, $40,000, $50,000. But he went to KU. I remember.
See, I'm drawing a blank. Because all I can think of is Stefan, who was another designer, but he was also an instructor at the Art Institute back in the mid 90s. Stefan. Oh, gosh.
His last name. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Lors or Lenore. I
wonder what happened to him.
I don't know. But. I mean, that was, you know, and think how much that has evolved. I mean, how the art scene has evolved. Because, you know, back then, the first Fridays was for the artists. I mean, we went to the different galleries and, you know, went to so-and-so's opening. And now it's just a huge community of people who like art and want to get out and see and be seen. And it's a very communal, you know, project or event now. You know.
I go less now because I'm getting older and long in the tooth, and I don't like to fight the crowds. But 10 years ago, I would always ask people if where they were from.
Yeah.
And a huge amount of that question that got answered with, well, we're from Omaha, we're from Des Moines. They would drive in 300 to 500 miles from Kansas City.
Isn't that crazy?
This was a decade ago.
Yeah.
So it's and it still continues to, you know, to be a vibrant, you know, monthly avenue for the arts.
Absolutely. And especially with the Bunker Center for the Arts, I think that adds to the quality of you know, the creative community here in Kansas City.
I think it will. I absolutely think it will, too. I was trying to think of the name of that program that that they started in, I think it was started in Colombia, in South America, with kids with music. the guy that's the conductor of the Los Angeles Symphony, Dudamel.
I recall seeing the clip. I'm like you. I don't recall very well the name, but I remember seeing the clip of.
I want to see that instituted in this town for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think it started out with a small orchestra, and the kids made all their instruments.
Yeah, they did.
And then when that became news, they got deluged with musical instruments.
Right.
But it's life changing, and it's fundamental.
You're right.
And we need that kind of healing. Here, and it will bind us and make fertile ground where none exists at
you
the
know,
moment.
And there's enough people here in the city that feels that way, John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know there's a number of people that do work with youth either through the arts or with music here in town, and they're still able to keep their professional lives going as musicians, as working musicians. I think who comes to mind is making movies. You know, the fellas, Diego Chi and his brother Enrique, and even Juan Carlos Charan, they work with kids after school,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
In the music. They don't have to, but they do.
Yeah, and it's a blessing.
Yeah, it really is.
A mitzvah. But you know, you said something that woke me up to that a couple of years ago, and just on our Facebook exchange, I was teasing you, and you were talking about the value of art, and you said that the art of children is what you care about the most. And that just opened my eyes. You know, that's something I'll never forget.
Well, bless your heart. But it's true. I mean, you can have these wonderful art conversations that are very just obscure, the language and just the meaning and content and all that. And boy, it scraped away all of that. And all I want to see is the work of a child. And maybe that comes from my years at the Art Institute, not necessarily at the Art Institute, but at the Nelson Atkins Museum where I taught.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see the joy and that discovery, you know, within that child. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. I was lucky when I was a boy, when I was 5 years old. My father was in the Navy, and we were stationed, and he was stationed in Philadelphia. And I got dragged to the Philadelphia Art Museum at the age of 5 for my first art lesson. And I was scared to death. I remember walking up the steps of the museum, and they took me into this big room on the right and gave me a huge sheet of paper and some charcoal, and I drew a kid on a swing. I'll never forget that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. And how about you, Jim? When you began making art as a child, was it as a child or later on? In
about
life,
7 years ago.
Really?
Yes. I had spent 25 years in information technologies, living in a world where the constraints were all logic. It had to be done right or it didn't work.
Mm.
And I was good at it.
Uh-huh.
And I did this for a lot of years. I was recognized for my work and very successful. And I hit the point where the joy was no longer in it, or even the sanity. And I retired at age 59. And I'd made a couple of pieces just for fun. I thought, well, maybe I can sell this stuff. And, of course, it just grew and consumed me.
Mm.
But I've been very lucky. Have works in quite a number of galleries. There for a while, I had worked in 18 galleries, and then my business world contracted, and I'm now down around 8 or 9 galleries. Work's been placed coast to coast in the United States and then also internationally in 3 different countries.
But I got to add, this guy hustles. He's out there. He's out there in the trenches.
Wow.
He's making cold calls, and you know he's enduring the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, but it's paid off for him.
Terrific. Do you have a website that you can share with our listeners or contact information if they want to see
the website?
Or I should mention even a gallery. That way, you know, if people
here in Kansas City works in 3 places right now.
Okay.
The Buttonwood Art Space at Buttonwood Financial, which is a 3,000 block of Main.
Mm-hmm.
A number of my works are there. Mr. John McGraw, who owns the company, has been very, very gracious to me. And quite a number of my works are there. I have some work at Alpha Title, which is in the Crossroads District, and also some of my work, in fact, one site-specific work is mounted out in front of Interior Landscapes, which is 2100 Central, and they have a number of my pieces in their showroom.
Now, are we, can you say that you can get a hold of us through Facebook?
Yeah, that's
we're
fine.
Both on Facebook.
Yeah.
I have a website. It's way out of date. It's on list of things which need some attention.
Well, you know, that's pretty impressive for having only started making art just a few years ago. I mean,
I've been fortunate. Work's gone into a number of juried competitions. Mm-hmm. I've received awards. I've had solo exhibitions in several civic venues. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky.
Has it been a surprise to you, or just like, wow, I should have been doing this, you know, when I was 20?
It was something one could never imagine happening.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it just did, and I'm aware, as I've said before, that so many people whom I've met who are very, very talented and very productive have not been able to enjoy what I've enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I am doing this is to give them a chance to get their work in front of the public where it will be appreciated and hopefully make some people's lives complete by selling.
Terrific.
I've been lucky.
And the other thing that I've noticed with Jim and art, I actually think art has saved your life. I mean, it's made you a happy guy.
Well, sometimes pounding on a piece of steel is better than pounding on somebody's head.
You know, I mean, it's true. I know there's a lot of folks that have said that to me, that if it weren't for, you know, making music or you know, making art or something, I don't know where I would have been in my life. Mm-hmm. I think there's something, you know, very true about that, John.
Oh, yeah. It saved my life. Yeah. I mean, I wake up joyful and excited and curious.
Yeah.
And I live in the purlieus of art.
Shouldn't we all, you know, feel that way?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our lives should stand as testaments to the truth of the imagination.
I like that. I wanted to ask you, John, if you have anything coming up in terms of writing or events that you want to make our listeners aware of?
I'm going to read at Crystal Highlands Salon on Saturday.
Terrific.
And it's all going to be poetry and prose grounded in what is happening here in this town.
Yeah.
So
is there information that you want to share with our listeners again? Do you want to direct them to her website or a phone number?
Yeah, she's on Crystal's on Facebook, and I'm sure she'll have a probably something up there today, probably until Saturday. I think it's from 7 o'clock in the evening till 10. I think it's something like that.
And she's located at.
She's right over. She's on Baltimore.
Okay.
I think over Lady Vocals Gallery. She's got a big loft.
So you'll be reading some work there.
Yeah, and Jose's going to be reading, and Iris Applequist.
Oh yeah.
As
good,
well.
Good.
So it's going to be exciting. Jim and I were at Winstead's before we got here, and I was sharing with him some of the experiences I've had here.
Uh-huh.
It's a most interesting place.
Yeah.
And it's I know where all the skeletons are buried. Yeah. And I'm willing to tell the story.
I love you, John.
Thank you, baby.
And Jim, do you have any last words that you want to share with our listeners that I didn't get around to asking you?
I can't think of anything at this point. I'm looking forward to this project blossoming. I know it will not be immediate. We hope to have the facilities ready for some artists by the last part of the second quarter. And we want it to be a good place to exhibit. We want it to be a good place to visit. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but I'm looking forward to it, and I think realistically we'll have something well-developed and in motion by the end of this year.
Terrific. Thank you so much, John Hastings, Jim Adams, the Bunker Center for the Arts at 19th in Troost, coming to a city near you. Thank you so much. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Art Speak Radio.
Thank you, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
One of my mentors was one of his bodyguards, a brother known in Harlem as Sonny Malik. And Sonny was like straight up, straight ahead, and would take you out on a dime. But he loved Malcolm, and he did his best with his comrades who were Sunni Muslims to protect Malcolm. But 2 weeks before Malcolm's death, Sunni and a few brothers were swept up off of the streets of New York, end up in a federal prison in Atlanta without any charges.
The assassination of Malcolm X on Sprouts, Thursday at noon.
I was asked, you know, was the election of Barack Obama in 8 Martin Luther King's dream? And my answer was no.
No.
No, it wasn't. Martin Luther King was a leader and Barack Obama's a politician.
There's a river of birds.
Nikki Giovanni speaks on Wings Saturday afternoon at 2:30.
Join Global Roots Radio this week for a celebration of International Women's Day and a focus on the women of 19th century Istanbul. Guest hosts Gerald Tremble and Sedar Tungtin curate the music for the two-hour show Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm your host, Maria Vasquez Boyd. This is 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Next, I have in the studio as my guest, we've got Andy Paloutsian, who is the Story Center Program Manager at the Woodneath Library Center. It's located at 8900 North Flintlock Road, and that's Kansas City, Missouri. She will tell us a little bit about what's happening, some exciting news with what's happening at the library. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Maria.
Andy, there's so much going on right now. I do want to jump ahead and tell our listeners that the National Storytelling Network is coming to Kansas City, and you have all sorts of weekend events ready for this weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, the National Storytelling Network is having their kickoff to Kansas City event this weekend at the Woodneath Library Center, and that will be Friday evening and all day Saturday.
Terrific. Now, the National Storytelling Network, they're moving from Kansas City. They're moving to Kansas City from Tennessee, right?
Correct. They've been long hubbed in Jonesboro, Tennessee, and I believe they will still be having an annual conference there. But a little more than a year ago, they decided to come calling. They came to Kansas City looking for a new home base, and we were very fortunate that they chose us.
See, we are very fortunate. So they're going to be working out of the historic home there at the Library Center?
That's correct. We have a beautiful old plantation home for your listeners who've not visited the property before. The house actually dates back to 1856.
And it's on the historic register, isn't it?
It is. Uh-huh. It is. It's on the city, the county, the state, even the federal historic registry. So it's very much a protected species. For the time being, while we're waiting for the house to be renovated, the National Storytelling Network does have offices inside the Woodneath Library Center that's also on that property.
So if our listeners haven't been to the Woodneath Library, can you just tell us a little bit about what you have to offer?
Oh, I can.
Sure.
I live to brag about that space.
I know you do.
It's sort of my baby. I'm terribly proud of it. And I love seeing people come to our library center for the first time. There's always these looks of, you know, astonishment and wow. Mm-hmm. And it's very gratifying. To give you a little more information, it is a very large space, about 35,000 square feet. So quite a bit larger than most of the Mid-Continent branches that are peppered around Clay Platt and Jackson County. We feature a lot of very new technology. Mm-hmm. There's a very cool book sorter in lieu of a book drop right in our foyer. It's kind of like the Krispy Kreme donut machine. You can see your items running around on a conveyor belt. We also have an espresso book machine on site. So I have the capacity to make a paperback book.
I bet you that is really popular.
It is so popular. We've printed just about 1,000 books so far, and it's been a little more than a year. And one of those was actually a book that we published.
Because I know when I had you first on the show, that portion of it was still sort of in the works. So it's,
right. And that wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. And in a short amount of time, you've published, you say, over 1,000 books?
Well, we printed about 1,000 because really we wear printed. A few hats. We can be a printer for someone who has a family cookbook, mm-hmm. a work of genealogy, something that's really just for themselves or mm-hmm. their family. We can also be a great boon to an author who hopes to find a traditional publisher. Mm-hmm. We've got a local small press that is using us to print their galleys. Make sure everything's terrific. Right as rain before they go to press. And then for the self-published author, we can also help as well. We want to develop our own local history imprint. Mm-hmm. So the mm-hmm. first book we published was just last November. It was Mr. Ed Matheny Jr.'s most recent book, Cowtown. It's a book mm-hmm. on the West Bottoms.
Mm-hmm. Any relation to Pat or Mike Matheny?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Very well-known gentleman. Yeah. I think, popular for his involvement with KCPT. And, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. this was, I believe, his sixth book. And mm-hmm. all have been works of local history about Kansas mm-hmm. City.
And besides all of that that you offer at this library, there's also reading groups. And don't
absolutely.
You have groups for teens and...
We have a little something for everybody. Yeah. There's a very heavy emphasis in the Woodneath Library Center on early literacy. We offer 14 story times a week. Mm. We see somewhere in the neighborhood of 300 tiny friends, mm-hmm. And it is lovely. The children there do have their own library center sort of adjacent to the main library floor. They have their own computers, their own collection.
Yeah, that's terrific.
The teens also have their own space, and we've done quite a bit of digital storytelling mm-hmm. for teens, things like stop-motion animation. Mm. Mm-hmm. App making, game making. We have regular teen night on Thursdays. And then for adults, we host a number of community book groups because, of course, we have a huge space. We actually have a coffee sure. shop being built right now. Should be done in just a few weeks.
When I was there, it's been a little over a year ago, I believe, you were also had some outdoor programming.
We do.
Is that right?
In the summer, we do food truck roundups, which, you know, if you're in the urban center of Kansas City, that's very common, and we all love it, but it's sort of rare in the Northland. We've been really happy to offer that. It's done on third Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And the grounds at Woodneath, we have 33 acres that are in the process of being developed. And over the next probably 5 to 8 years, we'll install an auditorium, a mm-hmm. natural grass amphitheater. But for right now, there's also just rolling green hills. And when we do the food truck roundups, we see families on the lawn with blankets and kids blowing sure. bubbles. And it's just really lovely.
Now, if you would share with our listeners the website so they can maybe check out some more
absolutely.
Information or events and that sort of thing.
Well, I'll give you a couple. The first is really to direct you to the Story Center and all of our events that are geared towards story crafting, whether you are a writer, a storyteller, or a digital storyteller. That website is mystorycenter.org. And then for our first and most significant programmatic partner, the National Storytelling Network, as they are coming to Kansas City, their website is storynet.org. Mm-hmm. And for anyone interested in coming to the kickoff this Friday evening or all day Saturday, the website for registration is mymcpl.org/events/heart-story.
So let's talk about the kickoff.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
What are we going to find there?
Well, it's over about a day and a half, as I mentioned, this Friday and Saturday, but it's broken up into 6 events. Mm-hmm. That way there's a little something for everybody. Friday night at 7 o'clock, we have an adult concert, which is going to feature Beth Horner and the Story Crafters, mm-hmm. Jerry Burns and Barry Marshall, all the way in from New York. Right after that, there's going to be a reception, sort of a cocktail hour, mm-hmm. a way mm-hmm. for members, new members, people from our public who are just curious about the art
sure.
to come down and meet people. And then all day Saturday, there are events that are geared for families, for children, and for adults. We have a concert at 10 a.m. for the whole family. And then we have breakout sessions at 1 o'clock, one that is for adults and another that is for children. And then in the afternoon, starting at 3:15, we'll have our first story slam.
Wow.
And
that's
we are really terrific. Excited about that.
Well, you know, it's interesting that they came from Tennessee to Kansas City, and I think that speaks volumes about who we are as far as our community and what we have to offer.
I completely agree. I have to echo what John and Jim were just saying. Mm-hmm. We have such good fortune to be in Kansas City at this time.
Yeah.
It's such a burgeoning arts culture. I've lived in Kansas City my entire life, mm-hmm. and I remember in high school coming to First Fridays. And I love going there as an adult in my 30s and, you know, taking teen mm-hmm. groups and talking to peers, you know, older and younger about what we have to offer. And I think what we're trying to do with the National Storytelling Network and through the Story Center is increase that even more so. Mm-hmm. Really kind of see it as a regional Kansas City offering, the Northland as well. And not just traditional forms of art, sculpture and painting and sure. sketchbook art. Sure. This is about performance and visual art and self-expression.
Absolutely. You know, and it just lends itself to a lot of partnerships, you know, maybe the Writers' Place other, you know, groups and musicians and that. So it just makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
Now, this isn't the sort of, well, of course, I grew up in the 60s, so when I went to the library, I had my library card. I went through the, you know, the card catalog, wrote down my Dewey Decimal number, and libraries have changed. They shifted. I mean, they really have to stay relevant. So what are some changes that you've noticed since you visited a library and to what Woodneath has to offer?
Well, this is one of my most favorite things to talk about, so you're going to have to cut me off. I'm a person who grew up in the Mid-Continent Library System. I was a kid that visited the old Platt Woods branch and the Riverside branch, and it's just really meant a lot to me to be part of this renaissance sure. that's happening in yeah. library culture, but also in my library culture. When I talk about things that I find are frequently surprising to customers in the best way, how the library is adapting, I think what we really talk about most is digital offerings. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to have downloadable audiobooks or ebooks yeah. now, but we also stream music and movies
You're
and
right.
whole magazine subscriptions, and that is all available to you with your library card and nothing else. In addition to that, you're going to find some really innovative programs, not just what we're doing with the Story Center, mm-hmm. that's what mm-hmm. I'm most proud mm-hmm. of, but through Mid-Continent, there is a new system for entrepreneurs called Square One, sort of a push to help grow the community of small business owners within metropolitan Kansas City. You're going to find programs to help boost early literacy, and that's not just in our system. Kansas
sure.
City is so fortunate.
Yeah.
We've got four or five other very well-known local library systems that are all doing things in their own way and all very innovative.
You know, something that that I found on the website that just made me laugh, and I really enjoyed it, was the dogs that come through the drive-through.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
I have to give some credit to an incredibly creative and absolutely hilarious person that I work with. Her name is Natalie Polly, and she is the queen of all things display. We're just lucky she doesn't want to go do windows at Bloomingdale's in New York, because she could. I think, you know, aesthetics being her main thing, animals are definitely her second favorite, her second love. And she lives at that drive-thru window and takes the cutest pictures. We see either babies or dogs every single day. And it's just become a way that we engage our community. We show them that we love the things that they love, and we're here for them.
Well, and for our listeners, the drive-up window is like just like a teller at a bank, right?
It is. We had a new building campaign that started in about 2006, renovated Platt City, Smithville, North Independence. And the drive-through window has become kind of the hallmark of the new building. So, of course, when they built Woodneath and we opened it in 2013, we also got a drive-through window. And we love it. We've played a few gags on our customers. We've had days where we've passed out coffee mm-hmm. or muffins. Because, mm-hmm. of course, when you go through the drive-through window, you're looking for your latte or a snack. But people can return and they can pick up and mm-hmm. renew their cards, pay a fine if they're feeling spendy. Mm-hmm. Also, let us take a picture of their adorable dog.
You know, that's really funny. I would be inclined to drive up in my pajamas, but you know, I wouldn't want to wind up on your wall of shame or the people of
you wouldn't want to end up on Instagram or Pinterest.
Yeah, it's so different than, you know, than libraries have passed, and it's really trying to engage the community, and that's important. You're not just there to look at a book and pick it up or music and that sort of thing. I think that's really exciting what's happened with our libraries.
Well, thank you. We've really enjoyed being able to evolve and continue to find new ways to serve our community.
So again, your website is?
It's mystorycenter.org. That'll put you in contact with all things Story Center, including information about our wonderful book machine.
And you do encourage people to register ahead of time for the events this weekend?
We do. It would be lovely. It's just a way for us to kind of make sure that we've planned for our space. But feel free, you know, drop in. It will be a welcoming weekend and hopefully something for everybody.
That number is 816-883-4900. Can we just talk a bit about some summer programs? Because beginning to come up, I mean,
it
right
is
around the corner.
Yeah, we're planning for that right now.
Yeah.
In terms of story crafting programming, the summer offerings are going to be fantastic. We have a four-part series from Aaron Barnhart for self-publishers, really covering things that I think are not often considered. How to market yourself as an artist, how to sell your manuscript yourself as an author, how to really design it beautifully so that it represents well. That's going to start in May and continue in June. And we have a pair of fantastic programs on creative nonfiction from Jen Mann. And if your listeners don't know Jen Mann, I would be very surprised. She's a New York Times bestselling author and also a Kansas City resident. She has a fantastic, hilarious book out right now called People I Want to Punch in the Throat. Gotta love that title. She's got a real Cinderella story. She was a blogger who became a self-published author who was picked up by Random House, and now she's a household name, and she'll be doing some programming for people interested in writing in June and July. And then we've also got a four-part series from Jim Two Crows Wallen. He's a very well-known Kansas City storyteller and an NSN member. He's going to be teaching adults how to create and tell a family story, something impactful, something personal. And that begins at the last part of May and continues through into June on Tuesday nights.
Does that come out of somewhat of the oral histories that that one of the other branches has? What is it? In Independence?
Yes, the Midwest Genealogy Center.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
That's sort of our gem. As much as I adore Woodneath and I'm always going to be very loyal to our efforts there, I must say the Midwest Genealogy Center is what we brag about the most.
Yeah.
And what we're known for nationally. As a Kansas Cityan, I'm very proud to know that we have something that brings people from all over the country to research their family story.
In a sense, I want to maybe sort of compare it to StoryCorps. It was sort of what they do, and that, you know, you tell your story, you tell sort of a beginning, and with a family oral history, it's like that.
It is. In fact, we've hosted StoryCorps. Their mission is very central to what we are doing at Genealogy Center. They have a program in place at Midwestern Genealogy Center called Tell Me a Story. Follows the StoryCorps model right down to the letter. You can bring a family member or two, and there's a studio space for you to record. And your story can become part of our archive. It could also become something that you're able to take home and keep for yourself.
Now, is that going to be separate from what services you offer, or is it sort of
it's a bit of a blend.
Spill over a little bit?
I think we found that they're kind of in tandem, because what begins at the Midwest Genealogy Center, that early research, that digging into your family story, you know, your first detective work, it really kind of builds naturally to what we're doing at the Story Center. They come up after they've done the research to have their book printed. And once the house is open and our recording studio there is in place, they'll record and archive those oral histories with us as well.
Terrific. Great. I want to thank you, Andy Politzian, from the Woodneath Library. Woodneath Library Center, that's 8900 North Flint Rock Road, and that's Kansas City, Missouri, although it sort of hinges on Liberty, just a little bit of that. The number is 816-883-4900, or you can go to the website.
That's mystorycenter.org.
Because the only one that I have is my MCPL, the Mid-Continent Public Library website. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to hearing you back on the radio here and sharing more of what happens at Woodneath Library Center.
Thank you so much, Maria.
At this time, I want to mention a couple of things. You know, this is First Friday in March, so I want to talk about a couple of events that are happening here in town. If you go to crossroads.org, you'll get a complete listing of galleries and events that are happening. At the Blue Gallery at 118 Southwest Boulevard, we have Mark Allen, our friend Mark Allen, with Ethereal Waters, 19 Below Gallery, on 5 West 19th Street, features David Beal, contextual paint portraits, Capturing and Creating Relationship Stories. On Friday, we also have the Dead Toto Festival Poetry Slam at the Westport Flea Market at the Buffalo Room. Call 816-808-1252 for more information. Also, I'm going to finish with the Writer's Place on Sunday, March 8th from 7 to 10. They have a benefit reading for Anne Boyer, who is a poet and assistant professor at the Kansas City Art Institute. She's an author, and they will be serving up some of her work and live music. Stay tuned next for Jazz Afternoon with Jeff Harshbarger at 1, Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant at 3 p.m., Interfaith Voices at 6, American Roots at 7, and Classical Challenge at 9 p.m. That will be with either Dr. Mike or Mark Andrus. Thank you so much for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. I want to thank all of my guests today. Listeners, thank you for hanging with me for this new noon hour, noon to one, every Wednesday on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. You can download our podcast at www.kkfi.org. We'll see you next week. Honey, I'm coming home.